Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in to another episode of Nerd Up. This week, Dalton Manch joins me.
Yo.
And Lindsay Wolfgang.
Hi.
And I'm your host, Jesse Kimball. We're going to start off. Lindsay had a couple of things that she wanted to mention on our Thursday show that we didn't get around to. So
the whole day talking about Warcraft.
It was a good show. Good show, good day. All right, go ahead, Lindsay.
Okay, well, we'll start off with the fun toy geekery. For anyone that likes Build-A-Bear Workshop and is aware of their Star Wars line, they have added a few more fun options for you to create. When it first came out, I think they originally just put out the Darth Vader bear, which is a bear literally that looks like Darth Vader. You don't have to do anything other than stuff it. And then there was a bear that was just made from like Star Wars fabric. It was black with Star Wars just written all over it. And then you could buy like a Leia costume or a Han costume to put on it. I think they had a Boba Fett one at the time too.
That's pretty fantastic.
Yeah, they're kind of awesome.
So, like, can I get a older looking bear and then put like a brown leather jacket on it and then have like a red lightsaber going into its chest?
If you really want to, you could probably do that because they now also have a Kylo Ren costume that you can put on your Build-A-Bears and a Rey costume.
There you go,
Rey. That's the one I want.
they have the Rey costume for them.
So how weird would it look if Dalton and I went into a Build-A-Bear workshop?
You wouldn't be the first ones.
That's fine.
That's almost
true. There's grown adults that go in. I mean, it's Star Wars,
right?
We're going up to the Galleria up in St. Louis. I've done dumber trips for less in the last few weeks. It's fine.
In the last evening.
Mm-hmm. It's a fun time. But the newest one they added in, they've actually made a Wicket plushie that you can get, and you have the option of putting a sound chip in it so that it makes the little like movie grumbles.
That makes me so happy.
We're doing this. What are you doing Saturday night next week?
I'll be in Indianapolis.
Convention.
I'll be waiting the week after that to be making the Wicket.
I mean, it just came out, so I'm sure you can still get it.
Yay.
So, and they have a larger version and a smaller version, so depending on how much money you want to spend.
Is there a BB-8?
No, there's no BB-8.
There might be in 2 weeks. Who knows?
I know. And then I don't know if it's new or if it's just one that I missed before, but they also have a Chewbacca one that you can do. And then they have an R2-D2 hoodie that you can put on your bear. So they might make a BB-8 hoodie.
All right. For those of you that can't see Dalton because, you know,
he is very, very happy.
It's a great visual gag for the audio podcast.
Can we make a Dalton bear with just the BB-8 hoodie? Because that's better than a Kylo Ren or a Rey or... Just be wearing a BB-8 hoodie. Can they make that hoodie?
You can just get a bear and make the hoodie. Or you want a hoodie for you.
I mean, then I could carry around a bear that's matching.
Yes.
Although, I'm going to have to put pants on the bear.
Or?
No. Got to keep that license, Doug.
Yeah, I guess it wouldn't really work well trying to teach if you're not allowed to be around children.
Yeah.
Why did I lose my licensure? Well, I was matching my Build-A-Bear.
They didn't have pants for him, so I...
Our BB-8 hoodie game was on point.
Oh, my.
All right.
Oh, my. And then the other thing I didn't get to talk about is my personal geekery with Sailor Moon. But it's unfortunately an event that's only going on in Japan. So unless you are in Japan or going to Japan in the near future, the internet is the pure access for this. But Tokyo's Roppongi Hills Entertainment Center is hosting a Sailor Moon exhibit, basically. It's just a giant mass of everything Sailor Moon. It's featuring a chronological history of the series and everything. It's got large-scale color prints from the manga of all the different color pages. Original artwork by Naoko Takeuchi, the creator. They've got costumes and props from the stage musicals on display. And then my personal favorite aspects of it is they have toysies as well as the newer merchandise that they've been putting out for the 20th anniversary. Enough to post photos and like video that they've taken at the event. It opened up on April 20th, so just in the past week, and it's running through June 19th. So it's a good little run for the little like museum bit. And then along with the exhibit, they have a gift shop with merchandise that has been created just for this exhibit. So, hey, collectors, go buy stuff and sell it on eBay for lots of money for those of us that can't go.
And Lindsay will pay it.
Maybe. And then they've also got a cafe attached with like Sailor Moon themed drinks and treats and stuff. And then the last little like souvenir type thing they have set up when you leave. They've got little kiosks with various images. You can pick which Sailor Scout you like, and you can put your name on it, and it prints you out a sticker sheet of your name on top of each of the images as kind of a, hey, I went to this exhibit, and I got this thing.
That's actually really cool. All right, and for those of you that don't really understand the background on why this is a big deal to Lindsay, she's sitting here currently with a Sailor Moon t-shirt.
Playing Sailor Moon Drops.
Playing a game called Sailor Moon Drops on her tablet, and also her online handle is Sailor Staria.
Yeah.
So she's very sad that she can't make it out to Japan for this.
Yeah, I've been a Sailor Moon fan since 1997.
It would be the equivalent if like they just made a Vegeta exhibit, and they were just selling a bunch of Majin Vegeta stuff, and Jesse was losing his mind over it. Because if those who don't know, his first email, was it your first email?
Yeah, it was my, yeah. It was my first email.
Just listen to Thursdays, because he likes talking a bunch of crap on these like handles, but his first email was Majin Vegeta, what was it?
Majin_Vegeta88@hotmail.com.
Did you see the new Dragon Ball Pop finals they've made?
I didn't.
They're making more. They've got like Bulma and like little Goku on the cloud and little Gohan, and
they're just releasing a normal Krillin because it looks just like it.
Krillin. Seriously,
for real?
There is a Krillin.
Well, that's one dog's mine.
I know. I'm like, I kind of want it.
So, fun story about that. Vegeta's not actually my favorite Dragon Ball Z character. When I made that email address, it was actually Gohan, but I couldn't find any variation of Gohan at hotmail.com that worked.
Wasn't already was taken.
But Majin_Vegeta. That was close number two.
I was randomly watching a video on YouTube today, and they were talking about like top 10 characters of Dragon Ball Z.
Mm.
And I don't remember. I was really sad because Krillin was like number six, which makes sense because he just dies.
But he's cannon all fodder. Love Krillin.
That's true.
Krillin,
but you'll
though.
Be happy. It was three was Goku, two was Vegeta, and one was Gohan.
Nice.
And
they did it like the top three was because of character progression. Like Goku didn't change a whole lot.
Yeah.
And then you have Vegeta who like went from the base bad guy to like the best good guy towards the end.
I want them to make a Gohan. Vegeta pop final with his pink Batman shirt.
Yes.
That'd be cool.
I would buy that.
Yeah.
And they need to make Yamcha and Puar together in a set.
No.
I want Puar.
Yamcha was the high school quarterback.
I don't care. I liked Yamcha. He was afraid of girls and it cracked me up.
He was the high school quarterback 3 years after we all graduated. Like he peaked at 17.
Once DBZ hit, yeah.
Because it's like I like that they always tried to keep those characters relevant. Like
by killing them,
Yamcha, Tien, Chiaotzu.
And they need to make King Kai, but he has to come with Gregory and Bubbles.
Yes.
Because I want Gregory.
Sorry, we just made this Dragon Ball Z minute, but
no, it's fine. Dragon Ball Z. There's nothing wrong with Dragon Ball Z. All right, was that it, Lindsay, I guess?
Yeah, because them making more DBZ pop vinyls gives me hope that they'll make a second set of Sailor Moon pop vinyls, and maybe I'll get my villains.
Maybe.
That'd be cool.
Probably not, because they just don't know how to make the generals, because I want them, and I'm not allowed to have them.
Yeah, it's kind of sad. A lot of the Sailor Moon, probably, they just feel like, well, we'll get the Sailor Scouts out there, and we're done.
Villains. Queen Barrel.
That's how Funko is for the most part. Like they don't go too in depth with like they'll hit the
they'll,
main
they'll
things.
They'll see how well the series sells, and then they'll see what else they can milk.
Right?
Yeah. Because
so like if the main characters sell really well, then they may.
Well,
re-release
I've already
with
got
villains.
Them all pre-ordered, and I intend to hunt down the Hot Topic exclusive variations. So.
Yeah,
there she goes.
That'll be expensive.
All right, so on to other nerdy news here. One of the first things I want to talk about: Willem Dafoe. They announced that he has been cast in the upcoming Justice League movie as a good guy, and that's literally all we know.
Martian Manhunter?
That would be kind of cool.
Would be cool.
Except he'd be CG'd out beyond belief.
Fine. I mean, it would just be basically him voicing him.
Yeah.
That's fine. I like Willem Dafoe a lot.
Red Tornado.
I don't know
that
who that
even
is.
Less sense.
just,
he's just
going
a giant.
Pools.
He's a robot that makes tornadoes.
Yeah.
Seems real pointless.
You're not wrong.
DC. In the
okay.
Show.
Okay. Fair enough.
Minus Batman. Yes,
I'm
said it.
Batman.
Nope. I can't cuss on this episode, but you know what I'm thinking.
I haven't yet.
Yeah. So
Yay.
Far, so good.
Yay.
All right, and we're almost to 10 minutes in. We're about to set a record, guys.
Yes.
but yeah, Granny. Oh God, what was her name? She's in Darkseid's realm. Granny.
I know what you're talking about, but I can't think of the name either.
Oh, God.
Don't look at me.
It'll have to be Martian.
Granny Goodness.
It has to be Martian Manhunter. Like, who else could it be?
Granny Goodness?
the Red Tornado will happen before that happens, buddy.
Well, plus Granny Goodness isn't a good guy.
Well, yeah.
So, despite her name.
Huh.
We don't have Shazam. And I'm not saying this is CG. Well, no, because we don't know what The Rock's going to look like as Black Adam yet.
I mean, The Rock with a widow's peak?
They'll do bald. No, they'll go bald.
Black Adam has a widow's peak.
Injustice Black Adam, when it's the tunic.
What?
He's bald. There's what? Black Adam's been bald before.
I've never seen a bald Black Adam before.
All right, well, that's going to be...
He's going to look weird with a widow's peak.
Yeah, he will.
He looks weird with hair. Survivor Series 1997. Go look it up.
I'd rather not.
Rocky Maivia. No, but Martian Manhunter is the only one that really makes sense to me. Because Willem Dafoe has a great voice. It would be an awesome voice for Martian Manhunter. Very intellectual, very plotting speaking, very to the point, very direct. Besides that, I can't think of anybody. Mr. Miracle? That's a deeper pool. That's a deep, deep pool.
Yeah, I really don't know who they're going to have him play. Like, and also, I just looked it up. Injustice Black Adam also has a widow's peak. There's a variant, like a costume variant, that's bald. But
is he wearing a tunic, like I said?
I don't know that I would describe it as a tunic.
It's the closest thing that I can say that's a tunic.
Eh.
All right, anyway, so it has to be Martian Manhunter, right? Like,
I would... It could be.
This isn't like last week when we talked about Michael Keaton, who he was going to play. Like, it was either Vulture or Mysterio. It's only Martian Manhunter. Because if he's a good guy, they've already painted themselves in a corner. He can't be Nightwing.
Definitely can't be Nightwing.
He can't be anybody besides Martian Manhunter. Because he's CG... Like, they can CG that character. But everybody else is young.
And plus, he does look kind of like a Martian.
Is he going to be Green Goblin?
The
he's Green Goblin, right?
But he's not good.
Well, that was the joke I made on the PZ85 Ramblings. It was just like, Willem Dafoe is going to be in the Justice League movie. And I just put Green Goblin. It's the only character he looks
well,
like
to me. Well, I mean, they've got Willem Dafoe and they've got J.K. Simmons. So one of the jokes that I was particularly fond of that I saw about this is Zack Snyder's been removed and Sam Raimi has been... announced director.
Shut up. That's not funny. No, we're not getting into this. I'm not yelling today. I'm going to go a whole episode without yelling after last week's thing.
I guess I need
Ted
to go
Raimi
back and listen
going to
last week's.
Be cast as Superman Reborn.
Sam Raimi's going to show up, and then Superman's going to show up in that amazing black costume that I'm not going to get angry about. And he's going to dance very uncharacteristically of Superman. And there's going to be a whole scene with, I can't think of the song from Spider-Man 3. I'm going to not get angry. I'm going to stay happy.
Oh, you mean the scene that I laughed at the entire
Everybody
time.
Laughed at. The
oh
theater laughed at it.
You laughed at. I started like writing my last will and testament because I realized at that moment like my world was over. Yeah, that one. Yeah.
Also,
I'm not saying it was good, but...
So I just want to throw this out here real quick, and this is mostly for Shannon and Asa, because they are convinced that the original Spider-Man trilogy is better than the two new Amazing Spider-Man movies.
They're allowed to be wrong.
I'm in their camp, because I didn't think much of the first one, and I still haven't watched the second one.
And I don't know that... Shannon said he had watched the second one. Asa hasn't watched the second Amazing Spider-Man movie.
It's a good movie.
It is a good movie.
After I see the second one, I may change my opinion, but I like the camp in the original. I'm sorry.
I liked the first two in the original. It's just the third one was so bad.
Oh, no, it was. The third one was terrible.
It's not how you start, it's how you end. And I'm sorry, that's how everybody thinks in this life for the most part. So in that case, Amazing Spider-Man 2 beats the ever-living out of Spider-Man 3.
Oh, yeah. Well, Shannon actually tried to make the statement that Amazing Spider-Man 2 is equivalent to Spider-Man 3. Shannon thinks that Amazing Spider-Man 2 is as bad as Spider-Man 3.
I haven't watched it, so I can't make a
I've got it on
opinion.
Blu-ray. I can loan it to you.
Okay.
Oh, they did a TV
Spider
for Electro.
I'm not off for like another week, but when I am.
I mean, I'll just give it to you whenever, and then you could just give it back to me whenever.
Okay. Like I gave you my Neon Genesis Evangelion like
it's
3 years ago.
Oh, hasn't been that long.
Yes, it has. Oh. But I know where it is, so it's fine.
So anyway.
So we have Willem Dafoe in Justice League.
Willem Dafoe in Justice League.
Martian Manhunter. Has
that's,
to be.
That's what I'm thinking, too. I don't know. They could do anything with it. They could even make him Hawkman. Because they haven't said they're going to do that.
Yeah.
No. Hawkman's going to be looking a little saggy. His feathers going to be a little wilted.
CG.
I'd rather see him as the Martian Manhunter.
I would also rather see him as Martian. I also love John Johns.
How about John Cena for Hawkman? Because then it wouldn't be as much CG.
Oh, you're not wrong.
But then in the background, you're just going to dun, dun, dun,
no,
dun.
I can live no,
that'll
that.
Be in the background of my head the whole
exactly.
time. Every time I see him. I'll be convinced that it's playing in the movie, but it'll be in my head.
We'll be doing the review show being like, y'all heard it, right? My Time Is Now was playing the entire time. It had, like, it started with the DC opening credits. We heard it.
And we'll all agree, and we'll actually convince
but
ourselves.
Can they sneak into the script of him saying, you can't see me?
Oh, my God, they could so easily.
Yeah, they could.
Oh, this
they so easily could. So, go ahead and move on from that.
It all goes back to wrestling.
I'm sorry.
Green Lantern Corps movie. We finally got some news about that, because they announced a long time ago that there was going to be a Green Lantern Corps movie. And we all just hoped and prayed that it's going to be better than the last Green Lantern movie.
It's not yeah. saying it's not, can't be that hard.
The bar is real low.
Yeah.
You'd have to dig to go underneath it.
You'd have to be a diglet to get under that bar.
Dig
yeah.
Dig.
So we're going to get, though, they announced the Lanterns. Okay. We've got Hal Jordan,
okay.
Kyle Rayner, and Jon Stewart.
The best Green Lanterns in that movie. Kyle Rayner, my dog.
You have, in order, 1, 3, and 2.
You mean 3, 1, and 2, right?
No. No,
yeah,
I don't.
I'm putting John Stewart in front of Hal Jordan in this one, too.
You said, what? John Cena.
I said John Stewart.
You said John Cena.
Thank God this is on audio, so I can go back and say I definitely said Stewart. Anyway.
Lindsay?
I wasn't listening.
Imagine that. Anyway.
Listen not that closely. I heard John, and that was about it.
No, so, yeah. He is the best Green Lantern, because he is an art student. He's an artist, Kyle Rayner is.
Uh-huh.
Lindsay,
uh-huh.
Take
so
note.
So he has the imagination?
He has the imagination made for being a Green Lantern.
But what about willpower?
He's an artist.
How many artists do you know?
Several. How many artists do I know that are pursuing a field in art?
That doesn't mean we don't have the willpower. That means we don't have connections.
No, you're not wrong. You're not wrong.
And neither does he. And then he's just poor, and then his girlfriend dies, and he becomes a Green Lantern.
Uh-huh.
That's a sad story.
But he becomes the best Green Lantern.
He becomes the whiniest Green Lantern.
False. New 52 run, he becomes the White Lantern.
Oh, I know.
Did you read the arc?
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's all right.
If he's white, is he no longer green?
Basically, like the way it was in New Guardians.
I know very
book.
Little about the Green Lantern series. I'm sorry.
It was in New Guardians, and what ended up happening.
Now, wait a minute. Before you start undercutting this amazing story.
Okay.
But go ahead. No, go ahead.
All of the different color rings mm-hmm. were leaving other lanterns and going to Kyle Rayner.
Okay.
It wasn't like new rings
so
were being
like
created and going there.
A reverse
there.
Prism.
Sort of. So it was like, here's the bad part. Certain lanterns, like a red lantern,
mm-hmm.
if you take away a red lantern's ring, they die.
Well, that sucks.
Yeah, because when a red lantern gets a ring, the ring replaces their heart.
Damn. Note
yeah.
to self, don't ever take a red lantern ring.
Seriously. Well, I mean, everything else is pretty awesome. But either way, and you can get stabbed in the heart and live. The red lanterns. So, a ring was ripped from a red lantern
Ouch.
To go to Kyle Rayner.
And then he became the savior of the galaxy.
Kyle Rayner?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm getting through the story here where, like, I don't like how they did that. Instead of new rings being created to go to Kyle Rayner, existing rings left their hosts to go to Kyle Rayner.
For the greater good.
Sure.
So they basically, other people got stripped of their powers in order for him
and
to be like Uber
I
Lantern.
I think two lanterns died in the process.
Well, wait a minute. Okay. Two lanterns died in that process.
Yeah.
He's also not mentioning that the first lantern is killing way more than two lanterns while this is going on.
That hasn't happened yet.
No?
So
there's rogue
new
lanterns,
Guardians,
and that's why there's another one?
When the New Guardians arc starts, the book starts, the first lantern arc hasn't happened yet.
So is it the third hand then at that point?
We don't actually have, when this starts, we don't have that big overarching bad guy yet. They, like, the, oh God, what are they called? The
rat? No, it's like, I know what you're talking about. It's like the big putty looking guys.
Well, no,
they have putties?
Sort of.
A little bit.
No, the, why can't I think of their name? The guys that are in charge of the Green Lantern Corps.
Oh,
I can't help you here.
Because they're not, I want to say they're called the Guardians, but they're not called the Guardians.
I think they are called the Guardians.
Are they called the Guardians?
Yeah, because they're not the
but
Watchers.
But not of the galaxy.
Yeah. Right.
That's a different genre altogether.
Uh-huh. So they're the Guardians.
Yeah,
so the Guardians are actually still the Guardians when this arc starts.
Yeah.
And when they die, then other things happen, and then the first lantern happens, and then all that other
so
stuff happens.
So when the tree dies, they die.
So,
but anyway, no, back to the amazing part.
So, like, I don't know. Like, that whole, I'm just really soured on that arc in general, just because, like, I was actually a big Green Lantern fan going into the New 52, and I was really happy to be reading Green Lantern, and I really enjoyed the Red Lantern story as it was starting.
Yeah.
And the New Guardians was all right. Like, I didn't like that the rings had to be stripped from existing hosts. Why not just get new rings?
Well, that's when the Guardians were getting really strict about the rings.
Well, that's fine. The Guardians only control the Green Lantern rings.
That's what you think.
And he already had a green ring.
They just have a magic jeweler who just cranks out rings. Maybe they just couldn't make more rings.
They have forged, like, each
core,
yeah. Color, whatever you want to call them, because they're not all cores. Anyway, each one of the colors have their own forge where rings are made, and
this is where we get tired of Lindsay's questions. They just go read the damn
book. No, it's fine. Because like the forges actually make the rings. Okay. And traditionally, as a person becomes available to be a ring, like different ones have their own qualifications.
I gotcha.
You are a person that has, you know, a great rage.
The little lantern alarm goes off and like, hey, go make a new ring.
Well, a ring actually just shoots out.
Yep.
Huh.
And then finds them anywhere in the galaxy.
Finds a Muslim dude.
That's
who,
some pretty awesome GPS they got going on.
Right?
Yeah, it went through Alcatraz. A ring shot through Alcatraz into Simon Baz's hand, and all hell breaks loose.
He
gets out, gets a gun. Probably, if they put Simon Baz in the movie, I would lose my mind. I love that character.
Simon Baz is awesome. And then what was the... Yeah, not important. Either way, I got really soured on that arc because I was just reading those two books. Mm-hmm. I was reading Green Lantern.
And you have to read all the books to get
And I was reading Red Lantern. And it wasn't... And that's fine. I'm okay with crossover events occasionally. Green Lantern, you had to be reading all four books for a period of at least 3 months because they went from major crossover to major crossover to major crossover.
Yeah, every book, like every one of those books had the Kyle Rayner story in it. It was him getting a different ring.
Huh.
So, or it was Sinestro and Hal Jordan in the Dead Zone. Like those were the two stories that was concurrently.
Right. So you had to be reading all four books simultaneously, plus they would be releasing other books, and it was driving me nuts.
I would get so confused.
Yeah. Because I was already paying, you know, $6 for the two books that I wanted. I didn't want to be paying an extra $6 every month.
For the extra ones, just so you can have all the gaps filled in.
Have they announced who the big bad is going to be in this?
No.
Oh, I want it to be Sinestro.
I mean, it likely will be, or Parallax, but... I mean,
okay.
Not sure.
Can
either
they have
way.
A Snorlax?
A Snorlax.
I'm sorry.
He's just making a bed for himself.
I think we can both agree, though, that it's perfectly fine that Guy Gardner isn't in this film.
Yeah, I really don't want Letterman Jacket or Letterman Vest Green Lantern there, yes.
Yeah, the worst Green Lantern, hands down.
Yeah, easily.
Guy Gardner.
Yeah, because it's...
Like,
it's,
the only time he's been interesting is when they made him into a Red Lantern briefly.
And even then, I was like,
Yeah.
Oh, he's edgy now. He makes it, his constructs are made of blood.
Yep.
Still Guy Gardner.
Still Guy Gardner. What an awful character.
You know who comes after Guy Gardner that redeems the whole thing, though? Kyle Rayner.
Yes, he was the fourth Lantern.
It makes it a lot better.
So, Blade Runner. They've announced, you know, we're getting a sequel. It's going to be 2017, and Harrison Ford is returning. That's all I want to talk about Blade Runner, because I don't really think that it needed a sequel.
Mm-mm.
I think it's dumb that it has a sequel.
Kinda.
And let's move forward.
I like Harrison Ford.
Wait a minute. No,
that's about
no,
it.
No.
What?
No.
What?
Is he the Terminator? Like, how can you tell me that this person that's now like 40 years older than what he was is now like, he's wrinkly, like, but he's a robot?
They might give him the Arnold Terminator thing.
That's the only thing, because I made that joke whenever you mentioned it to me. I was like, has those Terminator genes where... And that is, it makes no sense. Like, and that's what I hated about, I didn't watch Terminator Genesis. I stopped watching after T2 because that's the good idea.
You're not wrong.
But I saw him in Terminator Genesis and I was like, all right.
Though Shannon did say Terminator Genesis was good.
I liked Genesis.
I mean, it can be good. Because
they retconned a bunch of stuff.
It can be as good as it wants to be. You're trying to tell me that this robot aged that much. Yeah, we're made of flesh, bone, muscle tissue. He's made out of flesh and metal. No.
The flesh ages. That's basically what it came down to.
But it's metal around it. Like, you're telling me that he doesn't
underneath
have...
Underneath
it. Underneath it, my bad. Can't some of that stuff stay cool enough to, like, keep that flesh, like,
I mean, that's something that happens. Like, skin gets old. Even synthetic stuff can get old. Synthetic leather ages.
One of them turned into liquid. If he showed back up and he looked old, what's your argument going to be then?
He didn't.
He's an old man.
It's become a little bit more coagulated liquid.
Ew.
But he didn't, so that's not an argument you can make.
I think it's dumb, and they're doing Blade Runner
now.
Because
he was a different model of
Terminator. Yeah, he was a different model of Terminator. He was a T3. Was it 2000 or?
I don't know the number. Shannon's
I don't either.
Here.
Yeah, Shannon's probably. If Shannon's listening to
he's smacking
like,
his head. Yeah.
You idiots.
And then he's like, oh, he also explained all the science to me and why I'm complaining.
Because I thought the T1000 was Arnold.
Yeah, I think it's the T2000.
The T2000 is the liquid.
Yeah. Maybe.
Anyway, not important.
The 2000, I'm pretty sure, is the liquid, but I don't remember
what
model
that's true
Arnold
too.
Is.
So I just think it's dumb that they're doing another. Firsthand, Harrison Ford just needs to stop.
That's not true. Harrison Ford is a beautiful man and a
national
treasure.
He
can do as much as he wants.
Good for him.
It's not his fault that Blade Runner is happening.
He signed the contract.
Money.
Han Solo. They're still backing them trucks up that we talked about months ago.
Money.
He's about to die soon. He don't need that much.
Money.
He can afford any nursing
home. He's going to live for another 50 years. You shut your mouth. Moving on.
We reincarnated him for episode, or it'd be 10 at this point.
Moving on.
Be like, how you look older than Dad?
GameStop. This is something
that's
we can get mad
about. That's why he looks older is GameStop?
Probably. They're evil. So GameStop has actually announced they are going into publishing.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yep. GameStop's going to be a video game publisher. They are naming their company Game Trust.
So do they get to charge even more to sell their games in their store?
Pretty much. Okay. This could turn out great. It could be awful. Because here's the thing.
I'm leaning towards awful.
I am too, because I have just a general distrust of GameStop. Comes from working for them for 7 years.
Uh-huh.
So here's the thing. We are running out of good publishers for these mid-tier titles. Like, we have, you know, the big ones, Ubisoft, EA, Activision, 2K, and all of them pumping out their AAA titles. But we don't really have many big publishers behind mid-tier to indie games. And really, right now, we either have, like, any game that comes out these days is either a AAA quality title or an indie game. We don't have any in between. Like,
there's no real mid-ground.
Exactly. Because the publishers aren't getting behind it. And it seems like what they're talking about right now, Game Trust, is going to be that mid-tier publisher.
That name.
Downside, since they own the games and they're paying for the games, they can dictate where the games are sold and what they're sold with and how they're sold.
Mm-hmm.
And if you thought DLC was stupid before,
now GameStop's going to be handling it.
No!
Good news is you won't have to keep up with pre-order bonuses for these games because they're only going to be at GameStop.
Right. So, yeah, you don't have to worry about, well, should I pre-order it at Best Buy or Amazon?
You're not going to have a choice.
Nope. Remember, kids, we're not advocating pre-orders. Do not pre-order games.
But on the plus side, Psychonauts 57, because they got Insomniac Studios.
Insomniac has nothing to do with Psychonauts.
Wait a minute, who did
that? Was Double Fine.
Oh, dang it. What is Insomniac did?
Ratchet and Clank.
No. No.
Yep.
And that was the sound of my heart breaking.
yeah, Ratchet and Clank, Sunset Overdrive. Insomniac has done a lot of games. So that brings me to the next piece of that news. Not only have they decided to go into publishing, they have already signed for developers. They've got Insomniac Games, Ready at Dawn, Frozen Byte, and Tequila Works.
Whoa, wait. That last one's a joke, right?
Nope.
This is an Onion article.
Can we mix Frozen Bites and Tequila Works together? And
absolutely.
And they call them Margaritaville.
yeah, let's get you a... So here's a list of what Insomniac has put out over the years, because just in case you are unfamiliar with the name out there, Spyro.
No!
Ratchet and Clank. Resistance.
Oh, I don't care.
Outer Knots, maybe the one you're thinking of, but it's an iOS game, not that big of a deal. They did Fuse, Sunset Overdrive, a bunch of other mobile games. And then they actually have announced Song of the Deep and Edge of Nowhere are a couple of games they're working on, Edge of Nowhere being an Oculus Rift title. Huh. But Song of the Deep actually looked kind of neat when they demoed that. But, yeah. So, Insomniac, actually a pretty big publisher to grab. And again, GameStop will now be paying for the studio that produces Ratchet, or develops Ratchet and Clank.
Now, if they could just keep their claws out of it and let the studios do their thing.
GameStop has said that their plan is to be a very hands-off publisher. Huh. Like, they are going to be the money behind the games, but they're not going to be like 2K or Ubisoft or anything like that, where they're taking a more hands-on approach. They're going to let them do whatever they want, and then they're going to sell the games for it, and, you know, they get a cut of the profit.
Or whatever agreement they have.
That is what they're saying now, but it's GameStop.
And absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Oh, yeah. And like I said, it's just, it could be a nightmare. I really hope they don't shoot themselves in the foot and say, well, our games are only going to be sold in our stores. Because when GameStop, you know, say it gets shut down in however many years when people stop going brick and mortar, which, you know, hopefully that day never comes. But if it ever does and GameStop closes, no one's going to start buying their games from this publishing studio.
No.
Because they're just, like, Best Buy is going to laugh them away. Unless, because obviously they haven't been that successful, because then the store wouldn't have closed. I hope that it's going to be available everywhere. You probably will just get the best bonuses. My true fear is that they will have them available everywhere. Like, you can buy, you know, Game Trust games at Best Buy or at Amazon.
But you have to buy the rest of it.
But you have to get all the DLC.
If you buy it at GameStop, you get ridiculous bonuses. So it's like, you could buy it at Best Buy, but if you buy it at GameStop, you get an extra chapter of the game. You get the last chapter of the game. If you don't buy it at GameStop, you have to pay an extra $10 to get the last chapter of the game.
Or you can buy it at Walmart, but the disc doesn't read, and you actually have to put this code in, and you can only buy that code for $30 more at GameStop.
No!
No, they'll let you buy it digitally. You don't have to buy it at GameStop. You just buy it on the PlayStation Store, the Xbox Live Marketplace, and then that money goes straight to GameStop.
Don't have to deal with that pesky tax. But yeah, no, I just think it's just a really, really bad... I mean, it's good for GameStop, but it's not good for the
video
game fans.
It's them taking one more step at trying to monopolize stuff.
Right.
Which is so dumb for a... Like, this isn't a medium where there's three publishers. This is a medium where you have indie developers coming out of the woodworks on a fairly constant basis making games like Broforce and stuff like that are fun games, and they're trying to
Rocket League.
Thank you. And like, just all these games, it's a market that you can't monopolize, or you can't attempt to monopolize, because it's so vast.
And see, that's the thing. I don't think they're trying to monopolize it, because they can't. They're never going to be able to cut in on EA, Ubisoft, or Activision. They're too big. Like, when those crumble, like, those publishers are the ones that will be the last remaining publishers after they've destroyed the rest of the market, and then they'll destroy their own market, and then we'll only have indie games, and everything will rebuild itself, I guess. I hope...
Poor games will go far, far away, and everyone will be sad and wonder why they wasted so many years of their lives.
No, you just explained an ecosystem. Because what happens with an ecosystem is... After you've done Scorched Earth campaign, if you leave it alone for 5 years, it will start to rebuild itself.
Uh-huh. No, I'm aware.
That's awesome. Good job. Got some of that biology in there.
I know what I'm doing.
Good job.
I don't.
Like Lindsay said, I'm a science person. Either way, and I don't want it to happen like that, though. I don't want everything to crumble.
No one does.
Some people just want to see the world burn, dog.
Yeah, like, well, GameStop. I'm not one of them.
As long as they can make a paycheck out of the world burning.
And they're going to make a big paycheck out of it, because they own a very, like, they don't own a big chunk, but they now own a nice piece of that pizza.
Yeah.
I want pizza.
I also want pizza. Moving on. So, yeah, I don't know. Like I said, it could be great for the market, because we definitely need more publishers out there. We really do. Because Bethesda is pretty much the only one that seems like a publisher that will take a risk.
That's true.
Because they publish, like, Bethesda will publish almost anything that gets thrown at them. Because they, you know,
so you're
are
saying
sitting
we
on...
need to come up with a game and throw it at them.
Right.
They published South Park Stick of Truth.
Wait, no, Ubisoft did that.
Dang,
one.
You're right. Yeah. I don't know who I'm thinking on Bethesda then. But.
Bethesda's published games like Wet.
Yeah.
And just some other, like, no-name titles. And I mean, they don't do great, but they put the Bethesda game on there, and suddenly everybody thinks a lot of people don't know the difference between a publisher and a developer.
Yeah.
For those of you that don't, publishers are the money. That's Activision, 2K, Ubisoft, EA Games. Those people, they don't make games themselves. They do have, like I was talking about earlier, Ubisoft Montreal, 2K Marin, stuff like that.
They print the paychecks.
They have dev studios, but they aren't themselves dev studios.
Yeah.
Those are called in-house developers. But they are the money. And then developers are people like
NetherRealm Studios
and Insomniac Studios. I mean, even if you go inside the big ones, Treyarch, the guys that make Black Ops, Infinity Ward, the
Sledgehammer, is that the other one?
Sledgehammer. Yeah. Those are the three: Infinity Ward, Treyarch, and Sledgehammer. Those are all developers. They're the ones actually making the game, and the publisher's the paycheck, and they do all the marketing for the games and all that other stuff. So it's nice to have, we need more publishers out there so that we can have, it's like I was saying earlier, especially if they do the mid-tier stuff, we can have, solid games out there that, someone's willing to take a chance on. Because nowadays, if you don't sell 2 million copies, your game is considered a failure.
Yeah.
Which is insane.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just one of those things, if it had been anybody else, I'd have been cool with it.
But it's that's GameStop. The problem. Yeah, because GameStop,
and we
this
all have
a
bitter taste in our mouth from GameStop. Mm-hmm.
This is a chance for GameStop to redeem themselves a little bit and do something right, and stop screwing over us as the consumers and us the gamers. And I hope they, stick to what they're saying now, because on paper at the moment, it looks like a great idea and it's going to be awesome for the gaming industry, and I'm really excited. But it's GameStop.
Have we gotten a mock-up of what that publisher tag looks like?
Yeah, no, it's not a mock-up. They have it.
Oh, does it look like the GameStop logo?
No.
Oh, man.
Check it on your phone.
Okay. No, because that would be the funniest thing in the world. Because I was just about to say, that's just one excuse for them to put GameStop on a case. And then I realized, no, it's called Game Trust. So I figured it was the exact same thing.
I also thought, when I first heard it, that it was just going to be, you turn on a game, and instead of you seeing the Ubisoft logo or EA or whatever,
GameStop.
You see the big GameStop power to the players. Fortunately, they did change it, but Game Trust is kind of a silly name. Well, maybe they don't, because I'm not seeing it anymore.
Wait a minute, is it that kind of Japanese?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, that actually looks pretty cool. It looks Big Hero 6. Disney's about to sue.
It does a little bit, yeah. But yeah, so Game Trust, please GameStop, please do good.
Do something smart for once.
They're not going to take our advice. They listen to those episodes. We got the emails confirming it.
Did we?
No. No, we didn't.
That was a joke.
And then, of course, signing Ready at Dawn is a little bit risky, if they're going along with Insomniac as well. Ready at Dawn, most famously known for Order 1886. So get a much-anticipated sequel to the six-hour game.
Mm. Pre-order at GameStop, you get a whole extra hour, which increases that game life by 15%. Mm. That's not good.
All right. Gearbox. This is actually happy news. Moving on to happy news.
They're doing another Duke Nukem?
They didn't do the first one. They just finished it horribly.
It's not how you start, dog. It's how you finish.
They're all out of gum.
They're all out of gum.
And they were all out of the other thing, too, because it wasn't good.
All of their projects have been great.
Yeah.
All of the projects they've picked up that other people have worked on have been poopy.
That's why you don't continue someone else's work.
That's why people get kicked out of college. Somebody else's work and you try to finish it.
On one side, I admire Gearbox for saying, these are games that people really want and they've been in development hell for a while. Let's go ahead and crank them out. But then I see what exactly happened with, the Alien game is probably the worst one.
Oh, Colonial?
Yeah. It wasn't Colonial Marines, was it? I think it was.
It may have been. The Alien game. The really bad Alien game.
I thought Colonial Marines was the good one that came out after.
Once again, Shannon's not here.
Yeah, I know.
Because Isolation's the good one.
Isolation is the good one. You're right. So does Colonial Marines.
Oh, I was right?
Yes.
Neat.
Yeah, because that's the creepy one that...
Isolation is the one
where
the
alien is Didn't they try making him play it?
They tried.
So I've been watching my roommate play the story mode.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not going to play that game.
Uh-huh. Pussbot.
Because it can hear you breathe.
So
play it on 360, so that's not a case, but I have it on PlayStation 4. They're going to hear me breathe.
And then you're going to die.
Oh, no.
Then they hear the sound of urine pooling.
Oh, I hate you, Jesse.
I'm not saying that's what happened when he played
PT.
No.
You lasted a strong 15 minutes.
Which, as soon as the ghost popped out, though, he was done.
It's the first time that sentence ever.
You
been
made
said
it past
me.
The fetus.
That's
sort
also
of.
The first time somebody's ever said that to me.
I hope so. I can't think of any other scenario where that would work. Moving on.
So wait a minute, Gearbox. Let's get back to this. Gearbox, yeah, what's their new project?
Their new project is Borderlands 3.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, once they finish Battleborn and all of Battleborn's DLC, they're going to be working on Borderlands 3, which...
Wrap it up. I don't care about Battleborn anymore.
Why?
Because I'm more worried
about... Because he said Borderlands?
Yeah.
I mean, I was going to move to Borderlands, but I don't know why you have to trash Battleborn.
I'm not trashing them. I just want it done. Huh. I want it out of the way so I can get to
Borderlands
3.
Yeah. Did you play Borderlands 1 and 2?
I loved Borderlands 1 and 2.
Oh, good. So, yeah, that's for those of you that know me and have listened to some of the other shows before, Borderlands with BioShock is in one of my top five favorite series of all time. I love Borderlands 1 and 2. It's great. The pre-sequel is also really good, but, I mean... Borderlands 1 and 2.
Yeah.
The pre-sequel is great extra story for Borderlands 2, but that's all we needed. So, Borderlands 3 is going to be happening, and I'm really, really excited because that game series is incredible.
Yeah, even the Telltale game, I just started playing through that, and I like that. It keeps its humor in there.
Like, the lore and everything else around Borderlands, like the Pandora and all that other stuff, it's awesome.
And it has just... I can't think of one bad character in that game.
I can't either.
Even Butt Stallion. Yeah, see, I play the
Butt
games.
Butt Stallion.
I play the games, Jesse. I'm aware.
I know Asa in particular doesn't like Scooter, but only because
that
he
accident.
Got... No, he... Well, yeah, the accident.
I heard the stories.
Catch a ride.
But Scooter has some of my favorite lines
in
all of Borderlands.
His opening line in Borderlands 2, whenever you find him, he's like, I know what you're thinking. He's like, you'll never catch me alive, you robotic sump. And then word I can't say because we're going PG on this dog. but no, like, I love Borderlands. I didn't know. I figured they were done with Borderlands after Telltale because they did Battleborn. I was like, all right, cool. They're done with Borderlands. They ended on a kind of high note with pre-sequel. Let's not milk that or let's not beat that dead horse. But now that they have announced Borderlands 3, I'm like, let's beat that horse a little bit more. But Stallion has a few more rides in him.
Yeah, that's... Yeah, I thought, because I heard that Battleborn was supposed to be a spiritual successor, but yeah, I don't know. I was also kind of sad when they implied that they were not going to do any more Borderlands.
Just stick with what works.
Right. No, don't do that. Take your time. Make a good game. Please don't stick with what works, because I don't want to see Borderlands Black Ops.
Like, that's not what I meant.
I play Borderlands for a very specific reason. If I want to play an actual, like, I don't want them just pumping out games every year.
Mm.
I want a game every 4 years.
Which is fine. And honestly, like, Borderlands has been my long-running example of DLC done correctly.
The game. How about that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. DLC. Because
basically...
Tina's Keep.
Oh, yeah, the way Borderlands has always done their DLC, which just makes me so happy. Basically, they release the game. After the game's done, you beat, like, they give you about enough time to beat the game, and then they give you a DLC pack for extra game.
Yeah,
and then you play that for a little while, and then they give you another DLC pack for more game. And I love that, because they're giving me a full experience, and once I'm done, I'm like, man, I would love more Borderlands. And they're like,
oh, hey, look,
hey,
we
hey,
have
Jesse,
this.
Check this out, buddy, no, just for you.
I won't lie, I haven't played through pre-sequel, so I can't speak on the DLC for pre-sequel.
You have the Handsome Collection?
I have the Handsome Collection, but Borderlands 2 is on that. That is the one I'm worried about.
Me, you, Asa, and Steven need to at some point just play through that game.
I call Claptrap.
That's fine. I can't remember which one in Borderlands pre-sequel I really liked.
Wilhelm is the one that I think I'd...
Wilhelm,
yeah.
Yeah. Then there's...
The gunslinger,
yeah,
that
there's
chick.
The girl gunslinger. I liked her a lot. And then there's, like, the girl gladiator.
Yeah,
I
that has the shield
one.
Thing. The
cap I can't
shield.
Remember their names for the life
Athena
of me.
Athena's one of them. I think Athena's one of them.
I think Athena's the gladiator, if that makes sense.
I can't think of the other
so,
one.
So, I did find one of my favorite, my favorite Scooter quote.
Yeah, what is it?
And this one, I was playing through this with my old buddy Trevor Camp. He and I played through the entire Borderlands 1 game together. And we actually had to pause it because we were laughing so hard. It may have been because it was late at night. Either way.
Those are the best ones when it's really, really late and someone could just say cheeseburger in a funny voice, and you just like, start cracking up.
Start doing Harry. Never mind. We're not going to start the Harry Potter thing again.
Like, that was pretty good, too.
Explosion Man was another one that got me and Trevor pretty
good.
Yeah,
Explosion Man was funny.
Oh, it was great. All right, so the quote was, and I'm not going to do the Scooter accent because I'm going to botch it horribly. Just says, Lucky's an old buddy of mine. And by old buddy, I mean asshole that ruined my mama's lady parts.
I remember that one.
Sounds like he's in trouble, so go ahead and try to keep him alive long enough I can kill him at a later occasion.
What was the one from Borderlands 2 where he was talking about? He's like, he ate a car. Like the tire and everything. Scooter's an awesome character. Asa,
Scooter's
a
great character.
You're allowed to be wrong, Asa. He's a fantastic character.
I think Asa agrees and he understands that while Scooter is a good character, the accent triggers him because he works in the crab library.
I like how everything has become the library.
It's my favorite ongoing joke. Okay, not my favorite. It's one of my favorites.
It's pretty darn good.
I have a lot of nicknames, but
and it's understandable that triggers him, but I still love Scooter.
Yeah, and like all those characters, like Marcus. Marcus is
Marcus Kincaid.
Yeah, the training, like whenever you do the practice or the target practice, mm-hmm. and it's just a bandit tied up to the table. Yeah. Like, that's clever. And Dr. Zed and Ned.
Yep.
It's the same guy, but I liked it. Yeah.
Dr. Zed is pretty awesome. Yeah. Ellie is awesome. Tiny Tina is amazing.
Yeah, I love Tiny Tina.
Oh, it's so many great characters. Lindsay, if you like first-person shooters,
I've seen
you should
a few because Shannon's played it. But you guys know me in first-person. I don't do that double analog thing.
Right.
I have female hands that can't manage it.
They got that girl brain.
Well, when it comes to first-person shooters, though, it's a very straight line for girls. There's either you can do it or you can't do it.
You're not wrong. That's always been like any girl I've ever tried to get into first-person shooters.
I can't do double
analog. That's been the thing. They just can't handle like the two analogs.
If they can just make that camera follow me and let me do my thing, then okay. But
I mean, in defense, I can't do it either. You see me play Call of Duty.
I have called you a girl before.
Wow, we're getting really offensive. We should probably stop equating me to a female because I can't play video games.
Oh,
like
man.
I can play video games. Lady, there's just certain genres I'm better at.
The two lady listeners, Krista and Mandy.
Does Krista still
better.
Listen?
Are both better
she,
than I
she
am.
Might. I really don't know. I haven't talked to Krista in a while. She has stopped posting in our Facebook group.
Aw. What else we got today? We hit Borderlands.
We did hit Borderlands, and that makes me happy. No, the other things I want to talk about, Ken Levine, going all the way back to BioShock, he's one of the brilliant minds behind that series, is... did I talk about BioShock earlier, or was that before the show?
We've mentioned BioShock a few times in pre-show.
But you didn't go into detail.
Yeah. You did mention BioShock whenever you're talking about your favorite games. We haven't went into...
Either way. Okay, yeah. So, well, BioShock, again, one of my favorite series, top five favorite series of all time. Not minus BioShock 2, that wasn't great. But BioShock and BioShock Infinite. Ken Levine, one of the brilliant minds behind those two titles, will be working on a Twilight Zone game film hybrid.
Huh.
Which to me sounds like it's going to be sort of like Telltale Games, the way they do their stuff, but likely not cell shaded. Might not have that same kind of cell shaded charm art style that Telltale has. But either way, I like Twilight Zone and I like Ken Levine. So,
and the thing about and if it is a Telltale esque game, the important part about those games is that it's a good story. And Ken Levine can do a good story.
Yes.
Like that's the one thing about him that
he has proven that he can do a good story.
Yeah. So if it's like Telltale, that's fine. I'll play it because I'm not a big Twilight Zone fan. There's a few like shorts that I like from it, but I wouldn't say I'm a diehard fan. But I do like that style of game. Mm-hmm. Like when Telltale releases their Batman game. Oh.
Or did you ever play Heavy Rain?
Huh, I never had a PlayStation 3.
Okay. Yeah, Heavy Rain, if you can get a copy of that and play it somehow, that is that's another game that's kind of like the choose your own adventure style game.
It's
more cinematic than anything
books.
Else. Right? They're so good. Especially the Goosebumps ones. Anyway, Heavy Rain was just a great, like, it was a very cinematic game, and it was one of those games where you couldn't fail. Like, if you lost a part, that changed the ending. If a character died, that's a different ending. Huh. Like, it was really, really well done and really, really interesting. And I'd be okay with a Twilight Zone style like that, too. But... yeah, I don't know. This could be great because, like I said, I do love Ken Levine, and like you said, he can do a great story. And this could be great. Yeah. I'm cautiously optimistic.
Potential.
I'm not cautiously optimistic because, like, it's Ken Levine who can do a good story, and it's Twilight Zone, a series full of good stories.
You know who else could do a great story that I miss in video games?
Cliff Bleszinski.
Oh, I hate Cliffy B.
I don't know any of these names.
He's the guy that did Gears of War.
Okay.
But he's just a raging douchebag.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Hate Cliffy B.
So who? Yeah, who
Drew Karpyshyn.
Okay.
He's the brilliant mind behind a lot of the early BioWare games.
Yeah.
Like he did the original Knights of the Old Republic, Jade Empire. He did Mass Effect 1 and Mass Effect 2. He did the first Dragon Age. And eventually, like before Mass Effect 3 came out, he left to just write novels. And I hear he's been fairly successful at that. But I really miss him in video games because that was just when he was part of BioWare.
Yeah.
That was a BioWare trademark. Like, if you bought a BioWare game, you knew at the very least.
You'll
worst
have a good
case
story.
Scenario, the story will be incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And I miss that. I miss that. Speaking of things I'm going to miss, Microsoft has announced they're no longer manufacturing the Xbox 360.
Another funeral to a past system.
Yep. So we'll do the official nerd off send off of the Xbox 360. I don't know.
Does this exist?
Equate it to a Viking funeral. Just pretend we did that and imagine.
No, can
that.
We for real do that? Like, we have the Mississippi right there.
I mean, we
have a busted 360 in the trunk of my car.
Oh, in the trunk of your car too. We have
we
several
all have
here
a busted 360 at the trunk of our cars.
Several here at
they
Gaming
come
Grounds
stock with all new cars. It's a busted 360.
709 Broadway for all your gaming needs. Yeah, I know. Like every time you buy a car, you get a 360.
I'm sorry for interrupting the plug. That's in every show. We could have went one whole episode and I interrupted it. Sorry, Jesus. Oh, you broke me. All right.
I finished the plug and everything was fine. We were going to move on. I don't know why you had to bring so much attention to it, but now that you have, what else can you do at Gaming Grounds?
You can pre-order games. You can call in Calvin and talk to him awkwardly, and he may fix your system.
No, he fixes stuff.
No, he does. Social cues. You can come here whenever CJ's napping. That's a thing.
Well, he hasn't done that in a while, thankfully. So anyway, yeah. What were we talking about? Oh, the Xbox 360. Viking funeral. So just imagine that we went out to the local Mississippi River, and we gave an Xbox 360 a Viking funeral, and that's our send-off.
Who hit it? Like, who? All right, so who sparrowed it? Let's just say we have the crew here. We already know I'm not going to do it. Like, I'm going to be lucky to notch the arrow, because it's on fire, and I don't like warm things. Lindsay, Stephanie are out. Mandy's the only female cast member I think would get it. But all right, so we have Jesse and Shannon. I think they would get it, a good shot at hitting it. Asa, he's wild card with that, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know.
I've used a bow before.
So that immediately puts Lindsay near the top of the list.
Doesn't mean I've used one before.
I was in the Boy Scouts and got the archery loop, belt loop thing.
But you've already said you're out because fire.
Well, yeah, I can shoot a normal arrow.
You've already said you're
but the
out
flaming ones
because
are the best.
Fire. I don't know why you're getting offended.
That's true. All I'm saying is I think Tanner's going to be the one that's going to be able to hit it.
Probably.
Oh, Tanner does bow hunt.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it'll probably be the man himself, Tanner Calvert, will be he did the appropriate send-off. Because I have shot a bow before as well, and I did reasonably all right. I don't know that I could hit an Xbox 360 from any distance with a fiery arrow, but...
Well, you don't have
can't
to
we just
it.
Set it on fire before we put it out on the water?
And then just shoot blood, just shoot notches.
We'll bring two. We'll send out the first one and see if Tanner can hit it. If he can't,
then
we'll set another one on fire
and send it out. We'll do the Mythbusters thing where we just put an explosive in it regardless. What was your favorite 360 game?
Viva Pinata.
Bioshock.
Yeah, because... Hunter Hendricks put on his Facebook page whenever the death of it happened. He asked what it was, and some people said Gears of War. Mine is still, will always be. And now remember, I'm not the biggest Ghostbuster fan, but that Ghostbusters video game on the 360
was awesome.
Was amazing. Fantastic story, amazing gameplay. Had the really good blend of scary and like funny.
It's fair.
That's Bioshock. That probably will be my favorite. No, I'm not trying to change your mind.
I know, I'm just saying. I'm throwing mine back out there. I was gonna go into detail about Bioshock because I love talking about Bioshock.
Go into detail about Bioshock, dog.
No, I don't want to go into detail about Bioshock anymore.
I was dating a girl one time.
One time?
It doesn't happen often. And I got a text message from her. She was playing the first Bioshock. And she's like, I killed a big daddy with a wrench. Just a wrench.
Very nice.
And I was like, I will marry you someday. Spoiler alert, that didn't happen. But yeah, that's the only time, that's my only experience with BioShock.
You definitely should play the game. They're talking about doing an HD collection.
I like its artistic style.
Oh, yeah. Like, it's a beautiful game. Beautiful. Even the first BioShock is aged wonderfully. Like a fine wine. The story is just incredible. The plot twist is great. Everything about the first BioShock game is amazing.
I already know the plot twist for BioShock and Infinite, though.
BioShock and Infinite, or just BioShock Infinite?
BioShock and Infinite. Because I know that Booker DeWitt is a very main character in that story.
Mm-hmm.
And then
mm-hmm.
I know that the guy that is talking to you, thank you kindly.
Please stop.
You've played the games! BioShock Infinite came out 4 years ago.
I have, but for, like, that's one of those things a lot of people, okay, BioShock Infinite a lot of people played, but it's one of those games I don't like to give out the spoiler for because it's a game that everybody needs to play. And it's a game that wasn't that massively popular.
That's the first one. Yeah, you're not wrong.
So they need to go play it because it's great. And I don't want to spoil it for them because the plot twist is great.
Well, thank you kindly for explaining that to me.
That's not how that... Huh. Anyway.
Oh, was I not right? Dang it. I got to go watch that Watch Mojo video again.
So, Lindsay, you said Viva Pinata.
Viva Pinata.
Fair.
Because I love Buzzle Gums.
We have the child representative of the floor.
I never did play Viva Pinata, but I always heard that it was
actually
really fun. Buzzle
Gums and Goobas. And quackberries.
Are you using real words?
Yes, I am.
She is. Trust me, I know.
Did you have a stroke? Do you smell toast?
No. That was about a month ago.
What?
Jesus.
Why are you looking at me like that? Hearing those words from someone that hasn't heard the game, it sounded like gibberish.
It is.
She started seizing out next to us.
Yeah. No, I love Viva Pinata because it's just a free-range game where you take care of a garden and you have little pinata-esque creatures that come into your garden and you make homes for them and you breed them and you sell them.
Okay.
I've played Viva Pinata. It's really fun.
So
I mean,
much fun.
I believe you. Like, I've heard from more sources than just you two that it's a really fun game. I just never played
it. It's like The Sims. You can get started with it and then 5 hours later you realize, oh, wait, I'm still playing this.
Those games are always fun. Like, did you guys ever play Geometry Wars?
Yeah.
No.
It was basically like Galaga on LSD.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it was just a lot of fun, and it really had that whole, like, one more game kind of mentality to it, because the game could last anywhere from 10 seconds to, like, 15 minutes, depending on how well you were
doing.
It's
like, I got more time.
And if you just want to have a seizure, just play Evolve, because that's the one that, like, is super trippy.
Oh, like, I thought you were talking about the game Evolve that
no,
just
geometry.
Atrocious. Okay, yeah.
That'll make you want to do, that'll make, that game will turn you into hard drugs and alcohol, because hard drugs and alcohol, you can afford that before you can afford that whole game.
Right.
Yeah. That's why you don't pre-order games, kids.
Yep. Because then you tell people, like, the developers of Evolve that what they did was okay. It's not.
No.
Terrible people.
You can buy that game for $18 and still spend $100 more to get the whole game.
Uh-huh. Yeah, as cheap as the game is now, it's still more expensive to play the full game than it is to buy a brand new title off the shelf.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. It's ridiculous.
It's completely ridiculous. But if you want a full game, you should be willing to pay more than $60.
I remember when they were $50. Super Monkey Ball 2? That was a $50 game.
I know. And the last time you brought this up, I wanted to point out real quick, I know you're young. Sega Genesis games and Super Nintendo games when they were coming out new.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
They were still 50
I'm sorry.
Bucks.
And that's not a joke.
Some of them.
I don't remember that at all.
Yeah, the actual $49.99 trend didn't start until the PS1 and N64 generation.
That makes sense. What were they before that?
Sega Genesis games, there were some that were upwards of $120.
What?
Like Ultimate Mortal Kombat 3 was a $120 game when it came out.
See, I didn't have a console in my house, so...
How did I have a Sega Genesis?
I went down to my friend's house and played, and mostly that was I'd play until I died, which was real fast, and then I'd watch them play for 3 hours.
Yeah, like, if I can find it, there exists on the internet, somebody uploaded a Black Friday ad from Toys R Us in the 90s. Boy, it is the most 90s document you've ever seen in your life. But you can see some games were more expensive than the console at that point.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it really is, and it's one of those things, like, you don't think about it, because since the PlayStation 1 and N64, the standard has been $49.99 for a new game, and then they upped it to $59.99 in the 360 generation, like the 360 PS3 era.
Because you got better graphics, and we're going to charge you more money for that.
That's right. True, yeah. But yeah, before PS1 and N64, like games were upwards of $130.
Maybe that's why I never had a console.
Could have been. Yeah. I mean, granted, there were obviously games cheaper than that. Like, you could still buy games for $20 and $30, same as you can now. But, like, and some brand new games, like, there was no standard. A brand new game could launch anywhere from $30 to, like I said, $130, $150 for a brand new game. It's just, it was all over the place. And that's why I'm glad that it's standardized now. But anytime I hear somebody complaining about, like, games are getting too expensive these days, $60, that's crazy.
Well, they're not $60 anymore, though. There's $60 plus DLC.
It's true.
And tax.
WWE 2K16 was an $85 game.
If you bought everything, yeah.
And I did.
I know.
Yeah, like, I have not spent just $60 on a game in quite a while. Call of Duty, and I bought it used, still cost me $70.
Yeah, because I bought the first DLC. Well, to be fair, Call of Duty, I'm okay with how they do their DLC. And it's the same thing.
Well, no, I'm not talking garbage on the DLC market. What I'm saying is $60 for a game isn't what you pay anymore.
I still think you do. You end up paying, you put more money into the game to get more out of the game, but you still paid $60 for a whole and complete title.
Sometimes.
You just got, yeah, I know. There are obvious exceptions of
Evolve,
like horrible games that have, like, they release at $60 and then there's $80 worth of extra content already on the market. That's stupid. Mm-hmm. But when you buy the game for $60 and then 3 months later they release some extra content for you, I am A-okay, thumbs up, perfectly cool with that, because 3 months after a game, like, I may be done with that game completely and I would like some fresh content. So
yeah,
I think that's going to wrap us up.
If it is truly fresh content.
If it is truly fresh content, yes. Again, there are places that still do that terribly. I'm not saying that DLC as a whole is good. There are good examples of DLC, like Borderlands.
Yeah. What was your first Xbox 360 game you owned? I do know my answer.
First Xbox 360 game that I owned, Dead or Alive 4.
NCAA Football 2010.
The launch titles for the Xbox 360 were pretty bad.
It was like Mirror's Edge and...
Mirror's Edge was not a launch title.
It wasn't?
No.
Why did I think it was?
I have no idea what you thought it was. But the actual launch titles for the 360, if I remember correctly, you had Cameo, you had Perfect Dark, Call of Duty 3? Or was it Call of Duty 2? I think it was Call of Duty 3.
Mm-hmm.
And they also ported Call of Duty 2 to the Xbox 360. But I could have those mixed up. And then there was one more, but I can't remember what it was. Oblivion was supposed to be a launch title and ended up not being a launch title. What was the fourth game? Because there were four. There were only four launch titles. And I can't remember what the fourth one was. Anyway, not important. Because I remember the Xbox 360 was backwards compatible. And I remember I bought mine from GameStop because I had it pre-ordered there. And I go in and I bought the console. And it was actually, I sincerely and highly doubt that she still listens to this show. The then store manager, Shonda, who Hunter very likely knows. I bought the Xbox 360 and she was like, well, so you want to pick up any games or anything else with it? I'm like, ah, no, that's really all I need. Because I even bought the premium one, so I got the extra hard drive and all that stuff.
Yeah, so you could play the games, yeah.
Yeah. She was like, well, what are you going to play on it? Halo 2. I was like, I have, because I told her, like, I have Oblivion pre-ordered, and I was going to pick that up today, but they pushed it back, and yeah, that's how it went, because the other four titles were bad. Oh, what was the fourth game?
Not important. If you know the fourth game, email us at RIP.
Hunter will likely tell me, tomorrow on the chat.
I will get woke up at 6:30 in the morning instead of 6:45 with...
Bing!
Yeah.
And it'll probably tell me, actually, Jesse, there were three other launch titles that you're just dumb about. And I'll be like, okay.
And then there'll be a GIF. And then I'll put a GIF, and then he'll make fun of me mercilessly.
That sounds like a typical morning in the PZ85 chat.
I'm not missing much.
You're not. Sometimes it's fun. A lot of times it's just a lot of making fun of Dalton. Which can also be fun. So, thank you all for listening. Dalton Manch, Lindsay Wolfgang, thank you for joining me. Talk to you guys next time.